Thanks for talking with me today, Jadish. That's, basically, it's the first time we've talked, right? And I'd love to thank you for the time you took during the AI summit a few months ago. And just some background before we get started, Jadish Patel is the founder and CEO of Flow Labs, which he frames as a transportation tech software technology leader specializing in artificial intelligence and transportation data integration. He's a serial entrepreneur and represents a new breed of transportation leadership who is fostering the evolution of mobility into the future. He's developed, designed, and deployed advanced ITS technologies and has been able to secure funding to establish those companies and turn them into thriving industry-leading businesses. What are your thoughts on intelligent transportation leading into 2024? Where do you see most of the action? And does that align with what should be technologies worth advancing right now?
So we're a Silicon Valley-based technology company, so we're always going to be optimistic and excited about the future. So 2024, we expect to be a great year. Coming off the back of 2023, which was a pretty difficult year for a lot of software and data companies in our industry, we saw a couple of major data suppliers in the industry go out of business, Autonomo and Wejo, which left a lot of software solution providers without data to service their clients for about 7-8 months, and still it's ongoing. For us personally, we were less affected than most. A lot of what we've focused on is building greater resiliency and redundancy in our own platform. We capture multiple different types of data, and each type of data, we capture it from multiple different sources. So our clients and customers saw almost no disruption. However, this did have ramifications for the industry as a whole, as well as the perception of data and software. However, like with greater stability, what we're seeing in 2024, whereas 2023 was fairly defensive, 2024, on the offensive side, it's really going to be a time of growth for the data and software landscape. What we've been seeing is that transportation agencies have got a better understanding of data and as well all of the different things that can be done with it, which enables them to better understand how it can impact their communities today. And they're incredibly, incredibly eager to invest in traffic signal management, roadway safety, environmental impact that will drive a lot of next year. In terms of kind of one of the things that's also been a huge boon is over the last few years, we've seen major investments from the federal government into transportation infrastructure and projects that improve emissions, improve safety, improve mobility. And one of the great things that the Federal Highways Administration has done as part of this is actually tied a lot of this grant money with requirements to measure performance. So what that's doing is it's driving greater accountability, for a transportation agency, which is responsible for investing hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money. It's important that they keep accountable in terms of what is the actual impact on the communities that they serve. So we're seeing a greater focus on performance measurement, especially around environmental impact and safety, in line with new regulations. And that's driving a lot of interest for data-driven applications and software like our own. With respect to kind of how things are allocated, we are excited about where software and data is going. However, it is still a relatively small part of the transportation ecosystem today. For the most part, the majority of the funding goes to building more infrastructure towards hardware-based technologies. And we see actually, longer term, that there deserves to be a greater allocation and greater interest in investment in software and data companies. For us, we're always going to say that there's not enough money going to data and software, but we see that changing over time. We would love to see it move faster.
So talking about some of the companies who were lost last year and the loss of data there, those companies that were compiling and ingesting data for performance data, we're going to see more companies, I guess, once there's some funding for that type of information. Basically, will we see new companies taking their place?
Yeah, and we're already seeing that. It's not so much a question, that all the data suddenly got wiped out. It was just the fact that a couple of leading players were the players that a lot of companies had made a poor decision in building their entire solution around. I think for us, we took a more diversified approach in terms of building lots of different data vendors, which meant that we weren't disrupted. But there already are a number of substantial data providers that have been in the industry for a long time, and are going to continue to be in the industry for a long time, who, you know, are being pretty underutilized. And so a lot of that comes from actually the education side of the solution providers, of knowing where to look for data. You know, some of our great partners include Michelin, who are backed by Allstate Insurance, as well as TomTom, who have been around since 1991. They're a massive publicly listed company, GPS device manufacturer and navigation leader. So we don't see those companies leaving the industry. It's just really a question of being good at sourcing and as well, you know, making good business decisions on which partners to work with and which ones to focus on.
So we've seen AI explode over the last few years, nearly in every industry, but how do you think AI can be used in the transportation industry beyond basically the hype that we're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. It's such a buzzword, isn't it? It seems like everyone today is an AI company. Just like a few years ago, they were all big data companies. And then before, they were IoT companies and cloud companies and then internet companies. But that said, you know, once you get past the buzzwords, once you get past the hype, the reality is that AI is going to have a major impact on the transportation industry. And it already is. And it will have a bigger impact as long as it's used correctly. You know, transportation is incredibly complex, and it's getting even more complex with every passing year. More and more infrastructure to manage, carrying more and more people, taking more and more journeys, using ever more diverse modes of travel. You know, it's really difficult to get your head around if you are a traffic engineer trying to figure everything out using, you know, your current technologies and spreadsheets. And really, that's the kind of complex and dynamic environment where AI thrives. But at the same time, you know, not all AI is the same. You know, we are experts in artificial intelligence and machine learning. We've applied it in multiple fields, even outside of transportation, in robotics, in insurance, finance, in retail. And what we've seen in the transportation space that, you know, AI has struggled historically. Now, the big reason why that is that everyone just expects, you know, you throw an AI model on some data and it'll suddenly, you know, create magic for you. And that just isn't the way it works. You know, you speak to any data science, any scientist, any machine learning engineer, they'll tell you the same thing, that, you know, 90% of our work is data cleaning and data structuring. And in transportation, that's the problem that's plagued the industry for so long, is that even though over the last few years we've seen an explosion of data, it's also not been matched by an improvement in the quality of data. And so a large part of what that means is that AI and any automated technology is dependent on the quality of the input data. So standard garbage in, garbage out. You could have the best AI model in the world, and if you're putting bad data into it, you're always going to end up with bad outcomes. So at Flow Labs, one of the things that we've really focused on is using multiple different types of AI to solve multiple different problems. And one of the big ones that we solved a couple of years ago was actually, how do we use AI to take all of this different data, to clean them and to generate accurate data that can build the foundation for other types of AI? So we kind of have three different ways we use AI. We have our AI-driven data integration platform that allows us to combine data from multiple different data sources. It allows us to identify anomalies in data, clean them out, and generate an accurate source of truth about what is happening on any given roadway at any given time. We then have our AI digital twin platform that uses a number of different neural net as well as genetic algorithm technologies to leverage that data to generate hyper accurate simulations of the real world that allow us to create a playground where we can then use other AI forms to test out different scenarios. And then we have our third leg, which is our optimization AI, which allows us to test out different strategies, identify the best ones, predict their impact before we can deploy them out into the real world. So AI is going to have a massive impact, but it's really about how we use it. You know, we've seen a lot of companies keep, you know, riding the next hype wave. You know, right now it's generative AI and LLMs. And, you know, that was the big talk of 2023. We think they're going to have a huge impact on a lot of industries, and they will have an impact in transportation, but it's not the primary problem. You know, no agency or no transportation manager is thinking, hey, you know, I wish I could have a conversation with my data. No, they're thinking about, I want to have actually good insights that can actually be useful and enable me to make critical decisions. And generative AI, LLMs don't really solve that problem. Other types of AI that were around, you know, a couple years ago are capable of doing that. So it's really about knowing what works, what doesn't, what solves which problem, and what's most useful right now.
Here's a question I didn't, I just came up with this one. Let me ask you a question about full self-driving as far as how AI might advance it a bit. I'm not really sure exactly how much progress we're going to make, see in the next like year or even 5 years. Basically, like when would we see something like level 4 at some point in, can you give me an educated guess?
Yeah, I mean, autonomous vehicles is obviously a very interesting space, and it attracts a lot of interest, especially from your day-to-day consumers. Yeah, it's usually that old maxim that everything that you think will happen in, you know, 5 years, you know, takes decades. Everything that you think takes decades happens in 5 years. And AVs was something that everyone thought would work much quicker than it did. But the reality is that it is a really hard problem to solve. I do believe that long term, it will solve a lot of problems from a, you know, flow management perspective, from a roadway safety perspective. However, you know, I think we're starting to realize that it is an incredibly complex problem that requires huge amounts of training. And it'll eventually get there, but I think it's going to be slower than we think. You know, right now, the way they're deployed in much more controlled environments, or that we have a rough understanding of what could happen. But, you know, we do think that eventually it will pan out in the positive direction, but, you know, it will take time. You know, I'm not the expert in some of the challenges that they're facing in that space, but, you know, we do think that they are overcomable, but I can't speak to what kind of time frame. But from my vantage point, we kind of think of that, about this as being a multi-decade situation. But yeah, you know, we feel that there are really, really good leaps being made forward by a lot of companies in this space.
Oh yeah, traffic, just like general public traffic, is just like, that's going to be a hard problem to solve. I mean, but we've seen like AI, at least provide efficiencies in trucking, for example. That's where, I mean, practically it's going to be automated for most of the roadways where the environment is fairly controlled. So, and AI, I've seen it, like basically how they've deployed AI in those areas. So, or even like just a small warehouse where the traffic is, it's a routed traffic. It's not something that is, very random. So, yeah, okay. I'm going to go ahead and move to the next question here. We have, for decades, it's been, the landscape has been dominated by hardware-centric companies, and your company is a software and data company. How do you see that changing over the years to come? That question has to do more basically with how traffic issues will be more reliant on software than hardware to solve, I think.
Yeah, I mean, famed Silicon Valley investor Marc Andreessen, famously once said, software is eating the world. You're talking about the growth of software and how it's going to impact a variety of different industries. And we see that transportation will be no different. To kind of understand where software plays in this world, you've got to really understand the history of our industry. And software solutions weren't really relevant, you know, 20 years ago. And rightly so, because there wasn't really any data for software to really use. And software thrives on that data. But we've seen over the last few decades, with the advent of smart cities, increasing amounts of infrastructure that now allow software to thrive. There are sensors on every roadway. There's sensors in every vehicle streaming data. There's now connectivity, you know, that's better than ever. You know, every single year it goes from 3G, 4G, 5G, and now we can stream that data from all of these devices to absolutely anywhere. And so the stage now is finally set for software solutions to really thrive. And I think one of the things in the future is it's going to change pretty quickly, because the reality is that software just simply scales better than hardware or manual-based solutions. you know, software companies like our own are going from zero revenue to tens of millions in the space of a few short years, which is not something that you can see in the hardware space. Yeah, and so that dynamic is going to create a pretty big shift in the ecosystem, and a lot of different, it's going to have a lot of different impacts and changes across the industry. But I think also kind of one of the things is it also depends on how hardware and software can interact. You know, so in general, I think it's always going to be about the challenge for players in this industry is going to be about how can you best use the infrastructure that is available to deliver exceptional solutions. And a lot of the times we kind of see this, you know, growing talk about a battle between, you know, hardware and software. You know, you have one camp that thinks, you know, the future will have zero hardware and it's all going to be software. And you can have another camp that says, no, software isn't going to be doing anything. It's going to be all hardware. And neither of those camps are correct or true. Each of those different types of technologies have different strengths that bring a lot to the table. So for us, we've taken the approach of being a collaborative company. I mean, we will literally work with anyone and everyone, as long as it can deliver exceptional value to transportation agencies, and even more so the communities that they serve. It's why we've built our data integration technology that allows us to capture data from not just connected vehicles and other data providers, but also from traffic management systems, hardware-based detection, traffic signal controllers. You know, we really see ourselves as being the glue that bridges the gap between these different data sources and these different hardware devices, and leveraging the AI to actually make meaningful decisions out of that data and information. So we do think that the future is going to require a more collaborative and integrated approach. And that's really what we're pioneering at Flow Labs, that fully integrated approach that can be the glue between all of these different parts of the ecosystem and to really turn it into something that's greater than the sum of its parts.
The software that's capturing all that data, it's an imprudence because of 5G, I think. I mean, that's how I've been seeing it, or that's how I've been reading it lately in the news. And we might even see it increase even as we start stepping up in speeds. Is that right? Or, I mean, are we pretty much hitting a sweet spot in the type of traffic we've got?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the natural evolution, right? That the hardware is always incredibly valuable because it generates data, right? But if that data just stays there, there's no connectivity, it just stays there and you can't reuse it. But with every single development in connectivity, we've seen greater access to that data, which means that now we can use it in different ways. So whether it's kind of 5G, 4G, 3G, whether it's fiber, or whether it's, you know, copper backhaul, all of those different innovations really get that data from one place to another. And if you can do that with multiple different data sets, you can get all of these different data sets in one place where you can combine them, leverage AI and other technologies to do really interesting things with them. And so, you know, we've kind of seen there's going to be more sensors on the roads, there's going to be more connectivity that enables us to transmit data, and really kind of software should be just sitting in the middle, collecting it and leveraging that data to, you know, generate value out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that kind of leads into the next question. What's one of the biggest topics in the industry? It's the development of a national digital infrastructure and the concept of a cellular vehicle to everything. How's that going to benefit transportation systems?
Yeah. So I think when it comes to digital infrastructure, I mean, we all know what the physical infrastructure looks like. We see it every day. We drive on it. It's the tarmac that we drive on, all of the different bits of equipment and devices that are out there. Now, digital infrastructure is, in very simple terms, it's just getting data on what is happening on all of those, on that physical infrastructure. So how many cars are going past this on this particular road? How fast are they driving? Where are they going from point A to point B? And so that fundamentally is the digital infrastructure. It's really that awareness of what is happening and the ability to be able to turn that into machine-readable information so that software and other technologies can, you know, leverage that and use it for various different applications. You know, just give you an example, we had no digital infrastructure kind of 50 years ago because And you could see it every day, because if you wanted to figure out what's going on your roadway as a transportation agency, you have to send someone out into the field to visually observe it. They may be able to go down and, you know, with a clipboard and a clicker counter, but that's what no digital infrastructure looks like. Today, we're capturing data from anywhere up to about 40% of all vehicles on any given roadway at any given time. We can understand their speeds, how many vehicles there are, what their routes are, where they're going from A to B. We don't need to go out into the field. We can use the digital infrastructure to capture that information. And now we can immediately put that into the hands of transportation managers and professionals, as well as leverage it in various different AI machine learning models. Now, building that national digital infrastructure, ensuring that there is connectivity, ensuring that is data across the entire national roadway system, is an incredibly valuable thing to do. And I think, you know, when I look at the national digital infrastructure or national digital infrastructure plan, we kind of see some of the same pitfalls that have been trodden on, you know, for many, many years, which is when we forget about the goal and we just tie ourselves down to a specific solution and try and drive that forward. And right now, the flavor of that solution is CV2X. I'm going to be very unpopular for saying it, but I don't think that that technology is going to achieve anything for communities across the US. I think it's going to be a complete dud. And we're going to see a very similar pattern to what we saw with DSRC. The idea of deploying hardware devices on the roadways at national scale is incredibly impractical, incredibly expensive, will take a huge amount of time. Getting people to standardize will also take a huge amount of time. Getting spectrum has also been a big battle. That's been a struggle. Getting OEMs to invest in onboard units for almost no benefit to themselves when their margins aren't that high in the first place. I just think it's a complete uphill battle that requires a number of things that really haven't been done before. But we don't think the idea behind it is a bad one. We do think that there are going to be getting vehicles to communicate with other infrastructure and other vehicles, I think is going to be a worthwhile thing in the long term, but the execution is probably going to be looking different. You know, we expect that, you know, take an example. CV2X would require onboard units to be deployed on all vehicles or majority of vehicles across the US. Latest research shows that there have only been about 46,000 OBUs deployed. That's across 350 million vehicles across the US. It's pretty much close to zero. However, we're already able to communicate with close to 100 million vehicles across the US using the technologies that already exist and the communication standards that already exist. And that allows us to open up pathways to actually deliver solutions today, rather than having to wait a decade for everyone to get aligned, for politicians to get funding. And it allows us to deliver impact today. And that's really kind of the core focus, that it should always be about impact, especially when we're trying to invest political goodwill, as well as taxpayer money into initiatives. It should always be about impact, and it should be measurable.
To be honest, I didn't think of, I didn't expect that kind of insight, really. So that's interesting. I thought it was something that people wanted to promote.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think people do want to promote it, but you've also got to recognize the context of our industry, that the majority of the largest companies in our industry are all hardware companies who haven't really delivered very much innovation for the last two decades. And really, they're going to be pushing more hardware-based technologies. They're not going to be pushing a software or data-based approach because it doesn't suit them, because they don't have any skin in that game. But at the same time, the software and data side is really where we're seeing the biggest forward movements. I think, you know, we're doing great work, but I think one of the great pioneers in this space is a company called Hustler, who are already, you know, proving that this vision can be done with the infrastructure and technologies that are available today. And they're doing exceptional stuff. And we think that model of communication between vehicles using existing infrastructure, that should be the path forward. It can be done faster, it can be done at lower cost, and it is already being proven to make an impact already.
Alrighty. So that goes into my next question. So tell me about Flow Labs. Basically you guys are in advancing intelligent transportation, and the sweet spot is traffic management, right? Is that what it is? And what should people know about Flow Labs and now, and what's planned in the future?
Yeah, so with Flow Labs, like I mentioned before, we've really been focused on a integrated data approach that allows us to then layer on different types of AI so that transportation agencies and other transportation organizations can leverage the data that already exists in the ecosystem to make impactful and valuable decisions. So at the end of the day, we see ourselves as wanting to maximize our impact, and that comes from helping make decisions. So you've heard the term decision support systems, and that's kind of what we pioneer at Flow Labs. Over the course of the last couple of years, we've delivered a number of different solution areas. So traffic signal management was our first one, enabling agencies to monitor, analyze, and immediately optimize their traffic signals. You know, processes that can take about 70 hours of labor time per intersection, our platform can do in a matter of seconds, provides accurate predictions, and generates improvements in performance from a mobility, safety, and environmental standpoint. Then we also released our roadway safety management solution that allows transportation agencies to leverage connected vehicle data and their existing crash data to conduct region-wide safety analyses, understand where their biggest risk hotspots are, where the next crashes are going to happen, and as well recommend safety countermeasures that can allow them to prevent crashes and save lives. We also have our mobility management solution, allowing agencies to understand road conditions, congestion patterns, traffic patterns, and our environmental impact management solution, allowing transportation agencies to measure, monitor, and model vehicle emissions at regional scale all the way down to individual roads. You know, with environmental impact becoming a pressing global concern and a big major concern in the US, these tools now allow transportation agencies to measure the environmental impact of any of their projects and allow them to maximize their ROI. So what is kind of unique about us is our ability to generate highly accurate data and to make decisions out of that data. You know, that's an area that we have pioneered at Flow Labs, and it's already seeing exceptional results all across the US. We're going to be continuing to push the boundaries of what AI can do. We're going to be getting more data sets from in more different locations. And over the course of the next year, we're going to be launching a completely new simulation framework that's going to be a paradigm shift compared to what's been previously done in physics-based models. And it's going to allow us to generate accurate predictions, accurate optimizations at any scale for any application. And that's really where the future is going. It's going to require a lot more data, a lot more ingenuity, and we're excited to work with a number of different transportation agencies and transportation firms across the US to really bring that technology and impact communities today.
All right. Well, thanks, Jatish. I could ask you questions all day, and in fact, I came up with a couple more, and I thought maybe I'd just save those for the next time we ever talk. So I want to thank you for your time today.
Michael, thanks a lot for having me.